Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today. Welcome to our second service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. So glad to have you with us. And I want to come back to something that Ryan mentioned a little earlier. Inserted in your order of worship today is the information about items that we are collecting for flood relief. We'll be doing that through the remainder of this month. And anything that you can bring and donate would certainly be appreciated. Well, in our teaching time today, we are in a message series called Friends. And the gist of the series, the gist of this message, the gist of this series is pretty simple. Here's the big idea. Good friendships empower, and they are worth the effort. Good friendships empower, and they are worth the effort. You were made for friendship, and friendship actually makes you in a lot of ways. And so that's the title of today's message, Making Friends Who Make You. From the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And from Proverbs 18, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Some of you know about that. Some of you have brothers and sisters. You're contractually obligated to spend some time with them and to acknowledge them. But you have some friends. You might say you don't just have a friend. You might have some friends who are actually closer to you than siblings. And the doctrine of the Trinity speaks to us in friendship. God Himself, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, has existed in eternal friendship. Now, C.S. Lewis said, friendship is like art. It's not vital for survival, but it gives value to survival. You don't need friends to survive on a desert island. You can actually survive for years on a desert island with a volleyball named Wilson as your best friend. But friends give value to survival, and they make life better. First thing I like to say today is that you have various types of friends, and here's the first one. You have shallow friends or shallower friends. Now, please, as I say that, I want you to know what I am saying, what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that these friends are fake or insincere. It's not what I'm saying. But that in our friendship swimming pool, not everybody is at the deep end of the pool. Many of our friendships are at the shallower end of the pool. That's fine. Not all friendships are deep. But all deep friendships, at some point, start at the shallow end of the pool. What that means is friendships are dynamic. You're going to start out and meet somebody and say, well, I really want some close friends. Well, you got to start shallow. You get to know one another. You test the waters. And you develop trust with each other. Now, these kind of friends, you are going to meet them maybe through church or through a business connection or a service provided. And here's my encouragement to you. Be friendly. Be friendly to the person at the dry cleaners. Be friendly to the people that you know through work. Say hi to folks at the workplace. Don't count them in your inner circle. Just acknowledge that you have a wide range of friendships. On the friendship pyramid, you're going to have some folks at the very, very top to whom you're pretty close. And it's important that you develop that well-defined inner circle. But we all have shallower friendships. And some of those, over time, will move to the deeper end of the pool. Now, you have another type of friendship, and I'm going to call these seasonal friendships. And seasonal friendships, they are dynamic, they are catalytic, they are life-shaping, life-changing, but they are seasonal. Now, they're true friendships. We're not just surface with one another. You know me, I know you. You love me, I love you. I cheer you on, you cheer me on. I celebrate you, you celebrate me. I serve you, you serve me. But we don't live in a village culture anymore. Hello. There was a time people lived in a village and they lived there all their life. We don't live in a village culture anymore. Some of you, you sign, you know, those high school annuals, best friends forever, and you've not seen them since they signed your annual. Now, does that mean that those friendships in high school were fake or not? Not at all. They were very, very, very real. But then what happens? You graduate and you go off to college. And then some of the best friends you'll ever make are in college. And then what happens? You graduate college and you move to different parts of the country. And it is important that you not put some unreal expectations on friendships and not learn to be where you are, to be all in where you are. Some of you have moved here recently, a few months ago, a couple of years ago. I want to encourage you to be all here, to be all in. I think there was a time, I know that I wish I knew this early on in my life. I would think, well, if I'm going to have a friendship, it needs to be a lifelong. I've got some lifelong friendships. But I also have some friendships that have been very, very seasonal. Some of you, we've done small groups together. I've done a men's group. And I'll say to that men's group early on, guys, we're going to meet together for the next 6 months, next six to nine months. And during that time, we're going to meet almost weekly. We're going to be praying for one another. We're going to share our lives with each other. We're going to memorize scripture together. But now, at the end of this 9 months, we're going to tie a nice bow on it. We're not going to have a messy breakup. There's not going to be any tears, guys. Not going to have a messy breakup. We're going to tie a bow on this at the end, and we're going to move on to a new season. Some of you, you make friends, and then what happens? You don't live in a village anymore. Somebody moves. They get a job transfer. They have more kids, and that gets complicated. Or they start having grandchildren, and the grandchildren live locally. Or the grandchildren live in San Antonio or Austin, and, you know, it's an easy drive over there. And sometimes our friendships are seasonal, listen, because of ministry. We multiply because of ministry. Think of that wonderful, original, first family connection group called the Apostles. There came a point, because of ministry, they said, guys, it's been real. We've had a wonderful 3-year season together, just walking with each other, looking at one another, but we've all grown a little bit. We have a degree of maturity, and we could keep sitting around looking at each other and let cabin fever set in, or we could multiply and not just think in terms of, oh, well, let's our group of 12 be friendly. No, let's multiply our group so we can actually make more friends and more connection points. Seasonal friendships are real and catalytic and loving. But the book of Ecclesiastes says to everything there's a season. And sometimes that's true. Now, please, I'm not saying that we should be flighty, that we should be quick to, you know, jettison friendships, just acknowledging the seasonal flow of life. And sometimes what that means is, gang, during the next year when our small group will meet, or during the next 2 years when we're in this together, or during the next couple of years when we're on a mission team together, we're going to lean into this season. We're going to squeeze every ounce of good. And while we're here, we are all in and we are all here. And who knows what God might provide? Who knows what might be created out of this? You know, a lot of guys that I've been in groups with over the years, we don't continue to meet. They're in another group. I'm in another group. But when I see them, hey, thumbs up. They know I'm in their corner. They're in my corner. And if they need me, I'll do everything I can to be there. Now, there's another type of friendship, and I'm going to call this kind of friendship, it's a sustaining and sustainable friendship. It might be seasonal in nature, but this is the kind of friendship that just goes to another level. This is the person who helps you pay close attention to God. This is a person, not only do you trust them, but there is truth, and they help you pay attention to God. This is the person who will say, Ronnie, what's the will of God for you in this situation? Are you praying about this? What are you hearing from God in this moment? How do you think the Lord can use you here? The most famous friendship in the Bible is that of Jonathan and David. Two unlikely guys to become friends, quite honestly. Both were warriors. Both were strong-willed. Jonathan was in line to become king. His father, Saul, was now king of Israel, and Jonathan was the heir. But David is the golden boy. And God's hand is on David, and Jonathan senses that. And you would think that these guys would be rivals and adversaries, but they're not rivals and adversaries. They will become knit in soul, chained in soul to one another. Their friendship will not be cavalier and trite. It will not be broken over the slightest nuisance. They're saying to each other, you can count on me. And by the way, you know what? In church, the word fellowship means that. That we have fellowship. We will actually take communion together. I'm committed to you. You're committed to me. Here's their story, 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his family. And in this section of Scripture, you actually have David having two relationships, one with Saul, and six times Saul will try to kill him. But in the midst of all that craziness, God gives him this gift of a friend. And I like how Eugene Peterson says it. He says that David's heart was the kind of heart that Jonathan's friendship could enter it, but it resisted the hatred of Saul. Jonathan and David said, not only can you count on me, they're going to exchange, notice what they're going to do. They're going to exchange something. Verse 3, 1 Samuel 18. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. He took off the robe he was wearing. He gave it to David along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. This is not just saying, hey, borrow my favorite t-shirt. He's saying, I'm dressed like the heir to the throne, but David, I see this in you, and I want you to put on the royal robe. Later, Jonathan will tell David, David, if I had a magic wand, if I could write the ideal future for us, this is what it would look like. You would be king, and I would be your vice president, and I would be happy to serve you. And David, I'm giving this to you, and every time you see this robe, you think about me, and you think about what I see in you, David. God has you for this. I believe Jonathan would have made a great king. But there was something he wanted more. He wanted to be God's man first, and he wanted to be a friend of David. And they just said, not only can you count on me, you'll be able to count on me and my kindness to your family. Jonathan's dream didn't come true. He died an early death in battle with his father. But later in his lifetime, David said, is there anyone in Saul's household, anyone in Jonathan's household to whom I can show kindness? And somebody said, yeah, Jonathan has a son. He's crippled. His name is Mephibosheth. Say that quickly 5 times. David said, you bring him to me. And the Bible says that David brought Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, into his household. He sat at his table. He was treated like one of David's own sons. And he was given land and servants and cattle. Can you be a strong-willed person and still be a friend? Yes, you can. Can you be a guy's guy and still be a friend? Yes, you can. You say, well, Ronnie, I want that kind of friendship, and I want to be that kind of friend. Where can I find that kind of friendship? Well, here's the bad news. There's no drive-through. You can't order it from Amazon Prime. But here's what you can do. You can start at the shallow end of the pool and be in places and environments where good, healthy friendships are made, the kind of friendships where someone will help you pay attention to God. Ryan Bean earlier was talking about our connection group catalog. It's available. It's available online. It's available in our lobby. And I want to give you a little love push today, a little nudge today, encouraging you to, in our next season of connection groups, for you to engage, for you to step out there. It's going to be easy to run home and just say, no, I'm going to stay with the computer. I'm going to stay with the TV monitor. But my exhortation to you is that you would have some church experiences where you are in circles and not just in rows. Now, there are times to be in rows. That's fine. But where you are in circles. And maybe it's time for you to be in a circle with a newer group of people. Maybe for a ministry purpose. That you've been with a group that's had a wonderful season together. Great season. But you could tie a bow on it and maybe make room for someone else. But here's the thing. This is our small attempt as a church leadership to help you find some friendships with people who are walking in the same direction you are. All right? Now, very quickly here before I wind down, I want to mention this, that it's important that we be wise and proactive with our friendships. Be wise and proactive with our friendships. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Someone has well said, you show me your closest friends and I'll show you your future. So it's important that we be wise about the selection of our friendships. Now, if you grew up in an average American home, you heard your parents talk about this a lot, where they would say to you, I don't think I want you hanging out over at his house. I don't think I want you hanging out over at her house. Well, why? What's the big deal? They're cool. They're popular. They got a lot of toys. This is where I really want to go. I just don't like what they talk about. I don't like the attitude. I don't like how when you come back from there, but I love to go there. It's great. Their parents are never home. They got lots of toys. And this is not just an adolescent principle. This is something that, you know, some of you, you'll be going off to college for the first time this fall. And you're not going to have mom or dad there going, all right, now I don't think this is a good friendship choice. I'm 58 years old. I still need this principle. You do too. But here's the thing. You're not going to have somebody over you going, all right, now. But here's the thing you have to ask, and I got to ask. Is this friendship helping me pay closer attention to God? Is this friendship helping me love the church more? Is this friendship helping me honor my marriage more, honor my children more? Or is this the kind of relationship that's sort of a draining one? You say, well, now, Ronnie, the Bible tells us we need to help. When Jesus was a friend of sinners, listen carefully, that is so true. And we do need to be compassionate, but please don't allow compassion to override discernment and wisdom. It's also important that you be wise and discerning and know that there are certain environments that may not be healthy for me and healthy for you. And so this is just a principle. The Bible says, he that walks with the wise, you'll grow wiser. The companion of fools, it doesn't say you'll become a fool, but you're going to get bumped around. We'll suffer harm. Now, we're going to come back to this topic of friendship in a couple of weeks. Next week is Father's Day, and Jason Noble, good friend of our church, will be here, and he'll be speaking next Sunday. Now, in conclusion today, for some of you, this message has been a little difficult because you say, you know, I've tried the friendship thing, but I'm just not sure it's going to work out for me. Please, don't abandon hope. Pray about this. Don't hide in your home with the TV and computer monitor. Make some intentional steps. Make a friendship investment. And might it be for you that a connection group experience is your next friendship investment? We are not wired to walk through life alone. God wired us for relationships and friendships, but they will not just happen. We have to fight for them, make time for them, work through the hard and the awkward parts, start in the shallow end of the pool, but good friendships empower. And they are worth the effort. Now, the best friend you will ever have is Jesus Christ. He even taught us, he said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. And greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And every Sunday as we gather, we celebrate that only Jesus could go to the cross, take the hand of holy God and the hand of sinful people like you and me and reconcile us. But he is our perfect sacrifice, but our good friend who is today still interceding and mediating for us at the right hand of God. Nobody will ever love you like Jesus. And you know that old song that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. That is true.